Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
That's right, guys. You are listening to Generation Next on Joy 94.9. Tonight, you are joined by Dil, Tim and Em.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Okay. I don't know.
We're the Muppets.
Yeah. Another amazing show on today. Did you like that annoying voice I just did?
It was a bit of an accent. I kind of enjoyed it.
You kind of enjoyed it? Oh, excellent. That's what I want to hear. So, tonight's show, what we're here for, what's going on?
We are talking with Laura, who is from the Deakin Pride
Society.
I think there's another word in there.
Pride Queer Society.
Pride Queer Pride Society?
We'll find out when she comes in.
She'll tell us in the interview.
She will tell us. And she's doing some exciting things, and there are some great things coming up, which our listeners might be really interested in as well, hearing about.
We know Dylan's very excited about it.
I'm excited too.
Yeah, we don't want to let anything away too early on, because that would be a spoiler.
It would be. And then we're going to have a bit of a chat, as always, talking about some gay school topics, but in particular, talking about Julia Gillard's decision not to speak at the ACL conference recently.
Yeah. Big news this week.
And also, the wait is over. We've got a new Joy host. Well, we've got a new Generation Next host.
Yeah.
We certainly do.
Which is very exciting.
She'll be coming up and she's
precisely.
Awesome. Yeah, precisely.
Of course she's awesome. Generation Next is awesome. You are awesome for listening to Generation
it's
Next.
It's like a prerequisite, you know? You have to be this awesome to get by.
Your weekend. Let's talk about weekends.
Let's talk about what happened.
What did you do, Dil? You went to something that we were talking about last week on
North
the show.
Northside Bazaar too. Mm. Yeah, and it was a really awesome day. Like we raised a lot of money for the station, and it was just a really, really fun vibe. Mm-hmm. And there was an auction, and that was
okay. About the auction, I got a text last night from Dylan, and he said, "I've just done something really embarrassing. Please tell us, Dylan."
Well, I talk with my hands a fair bit, and we were at an auction, and oh my, I was so embarrassed, like my stomach dropped. I was talking to Philip, who's part of the Joy News crew. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, we're making a joke, and I was like, you know, the sky's the limit, the sky's the limit, raising my hand. And then I just see from the stage, like, you, sir, $40.
What
yes,
was
you.
It?
It was a jacket. And I didn't really want
a
jacket. And so I just ran. I just put down my stuff and ran. And the poor Sam from the Melbourne Chargers, the rugby team.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, no, Dylan. I'm like, no. Just like, I was gone, man.
And after seeing the shoes that Dylan was wearing yesterday, they were probably not the easiest things to run in.
No, I don't know if anyone's familiar with gothic shoe brands, but I was wearing a pair of New Rocks, and they're about 2.5 kilos each. So.
And didn't you say you had skinny jeans on as well?
Yeah, I was. And I had to run upstairs, and it wasn't fun. It was not fun.
I would have liked to have seen that.
I just didn't realise how high-pitched my voice can get. And if you've got an embarrassing story where you've done something, you know, embarrassing in front of a whole lot of people, maybe your peers, for example, then message in.
Yeah. Hey, I was going to share something that happened to me on my weekend, which I was really amazed about. Apparently, I was at this party and I was talking to this bunch of people, and they asked me to guess a number between 1 and 10 and not tell them what it was. And so I kind of thought of a number and was telepathically yelling at that person in my mind, going, the numbers! And they guessed the number like that. And then I went and asked like a couple of other people, and they guessed the number as well. I was kind of like, do it again.
A different number?
No. So I still had the same number that I was thinking of, but I asked.
Six.
No. But I asked three different people and they all guessed what it was. It wasn't six.
Hang on. Start shouting at me through your mind.
Okay, you ready? Yep. This is going to be fun. Okay.
Does it work?
Is it four?
Okay. Okay. That's very close. So apparently...
That counts.
Apparently 90% of people choose the number seven.
Oh.
And the other, like, the other, I don't know, not the other 10%, but the other highest statistical choice is the number four.
Oh.
And I had picked seven, and three random different people at this party all asked me, oh, is your number seven? Because wow. They had obviously thought that it was going to be seven as well. This is so weird.
Do you reckon that might be because seven's a lucky number?
I've got no idea why it is.
That's really weird, though. I would never have...
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy. Do you know what? I would have probably just screamed witch and ran.
You are pretty skilled at running away.
Or not, as the case may be.
Yeah.
Depends what shoes you're wearing.
Well, I'm pretty sure I ripped the inside of my skinny jeans when I was trying to leg it up.
Thanks
Collingwood.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, anytime.
Timmy, did anything happen to you over the weekend?
I spent my weekend in bed watching TV. I have a very active social life.
Do you know what? I did the same thing, aside from Sunday, because I had mad hay fever.
Oh.
And I was like, gross, I'm so snotty and gross. And I just stayed at home. It was awesome.
Yeah, there's plenty of people dying on the trains. It's just horrible. Yeah. Because they've just been sneezing. Oh my God, my friend had two people sneeze on him in a row. It was horrible. I was there.
Why didn't you stop them?
How are you supposed to... A sneeze just happens instantaneously.
No, but it was the same person twice.
Is that intentional?
Maybe. Maybe they have a vendetta against my friend.
That's gross.
That is really gross. But yeah, other exciting things. Is anything coming up lately? Anything at all?
I have another thing that I noticed.
Oh, yeah?
I feel like I'm just full of these anecdotes, which is not something that new, but you guys might know about it being, well, men in the first case and second case fashionable. I saw a guy wearing high-waisted, like, burgundy-coloured jeans. I've never seen a guy wearing high-waisted jeans.
Neither have I.
Was his shirt tucked in?
Yeah, no, but he looked like he was a pretty kind of smart dresser. He had, like, really nice shoes. And, yes, his shirt was tucked in.
Oh.
High-waisted jeans. I didn't know if it was a thing. Like, waist.
But there's, like, different... heights of high-waisted.
Okay, probably like at his belly button.
Oh, that is pretty high.
Yeah, high.
But was it
so
like
it's not a thing.
Bohemian chic with that whole like that boho look? Or was it?
I mean, he was pretty smart dressed, like a black buttoned-up shirt tucked into burgundy jeans and these like cool kind of. They weren't cowboy boots, but they were pretty cool.
Oh, I've heard about the, because I think there's a, oh my God, I can't remember his name, but he's released a line. I think it may have been Prince has released a line, women's wear for men.
Oh, maybe.
And there's that whole, yeah.
Maybe.
But, you know, I remember hearing about it, but I don't know really what happened after that. But you know what? We've got so much more coming up right after this.
I'm Em.
I'm Tim.
And I'm Dil. And you're listening to...
Generation Next. Love it.
So we're joined in the studio at the moment by Laura from Deakin Pride Queer Society. There was a bit of a tongue twister in the intro to the show. Laura, how long has the Pride Prom been in the pipelines?
Yeah, so I've been involved in a few different queer collectives and, you know, everywhere we go, people say, oh, it'd be awesome if we could have a queer formal, and it kind of never happens. So this year I decided at Deakin to make it happen. So a couple of months ago, it's probably been about 3 or 4 months, we just booked the venue and went from there, set up the ticket sales and, yeah.
So this is the first time that Deakin's had a...
Yes,
or
definitely.
The first time, to your knowledge, that you've ever been to a Pride Prom?
Absolutely. I do know that Minus 18 did a formal a few years ago.
Yeah, I went to that.
Yeah, you did?
Yeah, it was really fun. Yeah, with Em, our previous co-host.
Oh, cool. Yeah, so they've done that. But to my knowledge, yeah, this is the first 18 plus. Mm,
yeah, that was... I think that was... I don't think it was 18. I think it was 22 and under. But it was like no alcohol.
Yeah.
It was pitched as an underage event.
Yeah.
So absolutely. I think it's pretty cool to have an overage event,
yeah.
Being overage myself.
Yes.
So what is the prom supposed to showcase?
Yeah, so this year we started a campaign at Deakin, which kind of promoted equality on campus, which is what we called it. So it's a celebration of who you are, and we've invited people to come to this event because, you know, to wear what they want to wear and take who they want to take and not be excluded you know, as they might have been in their high school formal. So I guess we're showcasing a quality, you could say.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's a pretty good thing to showcase.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a chance for everyone to be comfortable and to look great and have a good night. So
yeah, right. So you don't have to get dressed up in proper formal wear?
Well, it's like I said, you dress how you want. So if you feel comfortable, dress how you feel comfortable, basically. Yeah. But we are promoting it as a formal event.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
That would be pretty fun to get all nice and swanky looking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't planned my outfit yet, but...
Yeah. Maybe we could wear matching suits.
That'd be great.
Or dresses.
Yeah, I'm trying to decide whether I should wear a rainbow tie or not, you know. Is that too
proud?
Yes,
do it.
Yeah. Do it. Well, no.
I was thinking about that.
Is there such thing as too much pride?
Exactly.
Not at all.
Laura at the moment is wearing like this outrageous shirt. All these colours and squiggles and things on it.
And your bag's pretty multicolored as well. I was admiring
well,
it before.
Like I said, you've got to have a bit of pride everywhere you go.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think a tie is kind of... much more understated than
what I'm wearing right now.
Yeah. So what kind of thing can people expect on the night?
Well, we have a photo booth booked all night. Mm-hmm. So they can have free unlimited photos of themselves, which people love, apparently.
Selfies.
Yeah, selfies. Lots of selfies. Yep. Yeah.
We've talked about that before on air, the selfies.
Yep.
But these are at a photo booth selfies. So
it's kind of a bit different.
Yeah. Are they like the photo, like, you know, the Polaroid ones, where there's like
they
four
are
in a row.
Indeed. Yeah. So you actually, so we've got a company bringing in a booth, and you actually have to try and cramp as many people into that booth.
That's
and
amazing.
Get your selfies.
Oh, do you know what? I'm like obsessed with those photo booth photos. I get them all the time with my friends when we're out. Like,
and the coolest part is they're adhesive. So what happens is you get to keep a copy, and then we, as the organisers, get to keep a copy and then display them in a little book so people can see what we did.
Oh. That's really cool.
But yeah, so you get to keep them and stick them and do whatever you want.
That is fantastic.
I know. They're really good. My sister had them at her 21st, and I thought that's a great idea for the Pride Prom. So yeah.
Well, I guess my next question is, okay, so Deakin, have they done this, like a Pride Prom for people, like internally before?
No.
No? So why was there an idea to go out to the greater public?
Well, as I was saying, you know, it's about being comfortable, it's about feeling beautiful and being accepted, and I don't think that's really exclusive to Deakin students, you know. Like we are, as the leaders of this this Pride Society, it's our responsibility to kind of set up a network, and we're not saying that, you know, equality is exclusive to us, so why not get everybody to join the party, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so we want everybody everywhere to feel that kind of acceptance and know that there is a community out there, you know, for them and that loves them for who they are. So it's not just Deakin, it's everybody.
Definitely. What sort of entertainment will be provided on the night?
We have a DJ booked. He has a strobe light and a smoke machine. I don't know whether...
Disco ball?
Yeah, he does, but we don't have anywhere to hang it. So I'll be working on figuring out how to do that. It's all a part of the planning process. But yeah, so we'll have him going all night, playing any songs we like and...
Awesome.
And yeah.
What kind? Sorry, Em. Uh-oh. I just got I got distracted by the music. You carry on.
Oh, sorry. Well, I was going to go to food.
There's enough for me to share around, guys.
What kind of is it going to be, dinner or nibbles?
There's going to be finger food.
Right.
So, of all varieties for the vegan, vegetarian, gluten free people. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's not a sit down dinner thing. It's just a nibbles and refreshments and
cool.
a dance
oh,
floor.
Awesome.
Yeah. So. All night too.
That's amazing.
It's all geared up.
Oh, food! I just got distracted by the food. But music. What type of tunes will we be hearing? Is it like
a bit of everything?
Yeah.
I was really, really clear about booking a DJ. We actually got one of my friend's dads to do it, who's a function DJ, and he plays, you know, everything from Bohemian Rhapsody to Doof Doof. So, so
fantastic.
Yeah. So it's a bit of everything. I didn't want to have, you know, sometimes you go out to places to functions and to clubs and stuff, and they only play one style of music. We want to have, you know, a bit of everything, a bit of a sing-along and a bit of a dance. So expect all kinds of things.
Where can people go to grab tickets?
Okay, so we have online ticketing, which is the main best way for us to sell those tickets, they can go to trybooking.com/BUAK. So, and just as a special for the Joy listeners out there right now, I've set up a special discount code. So in the next half an hour, you think, hey, that's a great idea, and I'd like to come to this Pride Prom, you can type in a code that says, type in the code. I'm almost done. Type in the code Generation Next in capitals when you're going through to buy your ticket on trybooking.com/BUAK, and you will get $5 off that ticket. So it will actually only be $15 in the next half an hour. So get on it, guys.
Wow. Yeah. Can I just clarify, BUAK, that's B for Bob?
B for Bob, yep.
Yep.
Umbrella, okay. Antelope.
Alpha, Kilo.
Kite.
Oh, nice work, team.
Yeah, we got there eventually.
So it is the letters, not those words. Just
and we will definitely put all of that information up onto our social medias and onto the Joy side as well, which you can go to. It won't be updated just next, guys, but when it has been, go on to www.joy.org.au/generationnext and then just follow the links to our various social medias and we'll have the links up there.
Hey, yeah. I just have another question, which is not actually related to the Pride Prom.
Go for it.
But I was just wondering what other kind of initiatives and activities you guys run
at Deakin.
Yeah.
You might have heard earlier in the year, I spoke to a show. I'm sorry, I don't remember what it was. But we spoke about what we did on Idaho. Mm-hmm. So we had a big festival day, which was where we launched Equality on Campus. And we had live music and we had all the clubs of Deakin University Student Association, which we call DUSA, a lot of the clubs set up as a like saying that they accept anyone in their clubs regardless of sexuality or gender. Mm-hmm. So that was a big event that we did in May. And besides that, we've done board game nights and lots of low-key stuff in our club room at mm-hmm. Deakin in Burwood. Mm-hmm. And just social events, different nights. Nothing as big as this. This is the biggest thing. This is the big thing at the end of the year. So
cool.
Yeah.
I guess what you didn't say is when it is, what time it starts and where it is.
That's a great idea. Thank you. Just realised. So it is on the 27th of September, mm-hmm. which is a Thursday night.
Yep. Good uni night.
Yeah, and good gay night too. Mm. So a bit of a win-win. Yeah, so that's in, I think it's in 2 weeks now. Mm-hmm. It is at the Three Crowns Hotel in North Melbourne. So mm-hmm. nice and central.
Mm-hmm. Right off Errol, like it's on the corner of Errol and Victoria.
Yeah. So you just get off at Melbourne Central and jump on the 57 tram, I think yeah. it is. And it's
that's
right
my tram.
Up, yeah.
Everyone knows where Dylan lives.
Oh my god, I didn't even think of it like that. That's not my tram.
And what time does it start?
It starts at 8 o'clock. Okay. And goes till about 12.
Okay.
Yeah, and so a lot of us are heading to D&M afterwards if you wanted to continue the party late or early into the morning, I should say.
That sounds so cool.
It
yeah,
does
it's going to be rocking.
Awesome.
And thank you so much for that discount.
Yeah.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah, I just also special thanks to you guys for letting us broadcast this.
Special thanks to you.
Thank you. But no, seriously, you know, we've spent a lot of time this year at Deakin setting up this Pride Club. You know, it did exist before this year, but this year it's been a really big year for us. And so, yeah, setting up this thing has been a massive, massive effort, but it makes it worth it when you get companies like you guys that just say, right on, let's do it. Let's have a Pride Prom.
Well, Laura, no you're worries. More than welcome to come back anytime you want when there's another future event.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and yeah we'll see how this one goes first.
No. It's going to be great.
It should be
great. I like your confidence.
It will be great. We have got more Generation Next coming up right after this. That goes for way too long.
I was rocking out.
Oh, she was. And she got the Mufasa going.
Yeah. Mufasa. Which is when I flick my hair over my headphones. I am so cool. Generation Next. We just heard from the very fabulous Laura from the Deakin Queer Pride Society. Thank you. who was talking about the very exciting Pride Prom, which is coming up on Thursday the 27th. We were given an exciting code for Generation Next listeners to buy a ticket with a heavy discount on it. So please do check out our Twitter feed.
Yeah.
Where we are advertising that. Sounds like a really, really fun event and it'd be great to see some of you guys there.
Yeah, and you get to meet, you know, your favourite Gen Next hosts as well.
Yes, we will be there and we will be taking some recorders. So we're recording your voices.
And we'll be dressed up and looking beautiful.
Yeah, more beautiful than normal.
We've got look, you guys, you have heard M, Tim, Mason and I beat on about this for ages, looking for the new Generation Next female host. And guys, the wait is over. Oh, yeah. Yeah. The wait
That's
is
a
over.
Little surprise. You didn't tell us you were going to do that.
Yeah. I like surprises.
Hi, Vicky.
Hello.
So, Vicky's our new host. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Yeah. So, Vicky was part of our, it's like our contest, our little audition for our new Gen Next host. Vicky, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where did you come from? Tell us where.
All right. Well, I live in Richmond and, just into the radio scene always. I've just been studying journalism. Also done a bit of work in the broadcasting area when it comes to TV and radio. So, yeah, I'm interested in talking, not being quiet, laughing.
Yeah.
And you guys.
Oh, and Vicky has a rockin' style as well. Like, oh, it's awesome. Like, total hip-hop. Oh, I love it. I love it, man.
Thank you. Then what can I say?
Dylan's dressed in a suit. Yeah. It's a bit different.
I feel quite boring in comparison. So, Vicky, where do you, I guess, the pressing questions, where do you identify in the LGBT community?
Gay all the way.
Gay all the way?
Gay all the way. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, no.
Absolutely not. Like, if there was, why would you be here?
Definitely lesbian. Always has been. Always will be.
Yeah, fantastic. That's what we wanted. We really needed a lesbian.
Yeah.
And we've got you. We found you.
I'm glad I could fill that void.
You have, Vicky. You have.
Okay. Let's wrap that up.
Hey, it's a love fest. There'll be more from Vicky in with some of the next shows. But yeah, we just wanted to introduce everyone to our new host.
Yep. Yeah. Cool. You'll be hearing her every week.
Get used to this voice.
Yeah.
Guys, I would really like to have a chat now about Julia Gillard talking at the ACL.
Mm. Certainly.
Yeah. Tim, because you're like Labour whiz kid, a young Labour member, how do you feel about Julia Gillard speaking at the ACL?
I think the last time I was on the show, I said that I wasn't very happy about her taking that decision because the ACL is such an anti-gay and homophobic sort of lobby in Canberra. But the big kerfuffle that I suppose happened in Canberra recently was the head of the Australian Christian Lobby came out and said that gay people suffered shorter life expectancy than smokers. And he said, I think we're going to owe smokers a big apology when the homosexual community's own statistics for its health, which presents when it wants more money for its health, that it has higher rates of drug taking, of suicide. It has the life of a male reduced by up to 20 years. The life of a smoker is reduced by something like 7 to 10 years, yet we all tell our kids at school that they shouldn't smoke.
And do you know what I didn't understand was when he got called on it, he was saying that it was taken out of context, but he wasn't speaking at a non-smoking debate. He was talking about a marriage equality.
Yeah.
And he was at a marriage equality conference. But where I'm sitting with this, and it's just not sitting well with me, should Julia Gillard, our Prime Minister, be going to religious parties? Should she be saying that she's going to speak in a religious party?
These conferences. Mm.
Well, even though I don't support her former position of going and speaking there, I think that it's important that she sort of did go and speak to them, because the Australian Christian Lobby, for better or for worse, is probably one of the most powerful Christian lobby groups in Canberra.
Where do they get their funding from as well? They're funded by four businesses, but they're the most least Christian organisation. They've got no comparisons to Christianity.
I've seen in the public that a lot of people have been saying that they don't represent the views of themselves as Christians, but they're still so powerful. It's very strange. Mm. But I think if you're going to put this into context, it's very important that you realise that there has not been one leader of an Australian state or of Australia itself since 2010 that hasn't addressed the ACL as part of their election campaign.
That's huge.
That made my skin crawl.
The former premiers of New South Wales and Queensland, Christina Keneally, and Anna Bligh, they're both supporters of same-sex marriage, but they've both actually spoken at the Australian Christian Lobby as well as part of their campaign to be elected.
Right.
And One of the claims that I saw being sort of peddled by people on Twitter and in some smaller news websites was that she hasn't spoken at an LGBT group, and that why would she do this? Like, why would she speak to the ACL if she hasn't spoken to an LGBT group? But she actually spoke at a Rainbow Labor event, and Rainbow Labor is an LGBT advocacy group within the Australian Labor Party. Mm-hmm. And she went to one of their events and she spoke alongside Finance Minister Penny Wong, who's a lesbian, mm-hmm. and she spoke alongside Health Minister Tanya Plibersek, and she's a pretty big supporter of same-sex marriage. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important that when you're sort of looking at this situation, you sort of put it into context and realize that it's not something new and that it has happened for quite some time.
And that it's actually quite a big statement, given that there are so many of Australia's current or previous leaders who have spoken at that conference. It's a really big thing for her to decline to speak.
I can sort of understand why people would question it a little bit, seeing as she's atheist, mm-hmm. but I think that it's important for people to realise that she's the Prime Minister of Australia, not the people that voted for her, and that she needs to go speak to everyone. And I don't think it's very fair of her just to exclude other people because they don't share the same viewpoint as the people who voted for her or support her.
So your personal view is that when she was initially going to go and speak, you supported her in that decision to speak?
No, I didn't personally support it because I thought that the ACL was... not only that it was a bit of a bad look, but given her past on same-sex marriage, her positions on that sort of stuff, that it probably wasn't very well thought out.
Right.
But I still think that she has a responsibility. I mean, I don't like it, but I think that... if Jim Wallace hadn't had made these comments, I think I probably would support her until I realised what she had to say to them.
Yeah.
Because we don't know what she's going to say to them. That's the thing.
Yeah.
People are making judgment calls before they even know what she's going to say, and I don't think that's particularly fair.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. That's my position.
That's your 2 cents.
Yeah. Well, at any rate, she's not doing it now because of Jim Wallace's stupid comments.
Yeah.
He's a bit of an idiot.
Yeah, let's just move right along.
I mean, there have been calls on him to apologise.
There have been a lot of calls. Yeah. And it would be really nice to get an apology. Also, guys, I'm not sure if you remember last week how we were talking about the article where the AFL said that they were going to, they were leading the charge.
Re-education and all that kind of business.
Well, we have approached the AFL. I have approached the AFL.
Yeah.
We haven't heard anything back.
Okay.
But look, hey, if anyone is listening and, you know, they'd like to get in contact with us, they can shoot us an email right away on generationnext@joy.org.au.
We'd be really interested to hear what the views of the AFL are.
Absolutely.
Kind of gay rights and gay re-education as they are claiming to be doing.
The AFL have done a lot to stamp out other discrimination, although not to stamp out, but to help address it and to help, I guess, come up with some kind of policy and, to try to erode it. Mm-hmm. But this, I don't know, it's just not sitting with me too nicely, which is a real shame. Mm. But guys, we've got Gay School coming up right after this.
All right, guys, it's Johnny Jenkins, a.k.a. Fat Gay Kid. I'm super famous for being super talented on YouTube. And you're listening to Generation Next on Joy 94.9.
Mm. You're listening to Generation Next with Dill, Tim and Em.
Howdy.
Do you know what time it is, guys? Oh.
I know. I just got excited.
I have to stop myself from singing along now.
There are no words right now.
Humming along.
And a chair as well.
There are people with games and stories to tell.
Open wide, come inside.
It's Gay School.
Birdies. Let's hear the birdies.
I used to say that to my dog. Like,
Where are the birds?
Where are the birds? And she used to go, hack.
Wait, your dog?
Yeah, I used to say to my dog, where's the birds? Where's the birds? And she's like, crazy.
She used to go, hack.
Hack, yeah. Oh, stop paying out my lingo. Gay School.
Isn't it cool, Dylan?
Yeah, cool. Marriage re-election pledge. The ACT Labor have promised to introduce same-sex marriage if they win the territory elections in October. The announcement came last week, the day after the Tasmanian House of Assembly passed a same-sex marriage bill. It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
pretty
definitely.
Cool. Well, the Deputy Chief Minister, Andrew Barr, was speaking at a public forum for the LGBTI community. And he's committed the government to enacting the reforms, which is quite nice and quite good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm sorry. I think I talk about this like nearly every time we bring up the whole same-sex marriage at a state versus a federal level.
I don't get it. Why have the ACT Labor promised to introduce same-sex marriage, but it's a federal law which has to change?
It's really confusing.
Brad from last week texted in. Do you remember? And he was saying that if a state can pass it, it can actually be undermined under federal constitution.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So it has to be federally passed in order to be a law that comes into being within Australia.
It's such
even though states might endorse it.
I think the deal is that if the state passes it, the federal government has the power to sort of overrule that decision and they can challenge it. But if the federal government doesn't do that, then I think the legislation stands. I could be wrong, but I think that's my understanding of it.
Right.
Hmm. Timmy, how can... Oh, wait, never mind.
That was the question that I just asked.
I was singing.
Yep, I pre-prepared it because as I was reading this article, I was like, what? I don't understand that. But now I do.
Up in Canberra today, the federal parliament started debating a same-sex marriage bill that was tabled by Labor's Stephen Smith, who's a backbencher, which means he doesn't hold any ministerial positions. There was a lot of people that spoke on the issue, but most notably, senior Labor ministers Peter Garrett, who's the education minister, Nicola Roxon, who's the attorney general, Jason Clare, who's the minister for defence material, Mark Butler and Kate Ellis, who are also ministers, spoke in favour of same-sex marriage. On a sort of different track, the Liberal Shadow Communications Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, said that while he wasn't able to vote in favour of same-sex marriage because he's a minister in the coalition, that he would vote in favour of it if he was allowed to, but Tony Abbott has not granted him that opportunity.
Well, even what's worse is if he dared to challenge, he would have his front benching rights taken away from
him. Yeah, he would be sacked as shadow minister.
Yeah, it's so you'd lose your job.
Blah, Tony Abbott, blah.
Yeah.
But Damien Bright, who's a researcher for The Age, told me today over Twitter that Adam Bandt, who's the deputy Greens leader, actually held a press conference and called for the coalition to grant a conscience vote, which would let Malcolm Turnbull vote in favour.
I think it's necessary. I mean, right now that's not a party, it's a dictatorship.
Yep.
But you know what's not a dictatorship? Calvin Harris, an example.
That is terrible.
Just go with it. We'll be coming back by Calvin Harris featuring Example. You listen to Generation Next on Joy.
Generation Next, you're with Timmy, Dill and Em, and we are smack bang in the middle of gay school. So the LGBTI community group 2010 is seeking support for a new project to create an online resource to support families when someone comes out. So the idea is to create the 2010 Families Project as an online environment where families can share their thoughts, ideas and stories about coming out experiences. A recent study out of the US-based Family Acceptance Project showed that young queer people rejected by their families have suicide attempt rates 8 times higher than their straight peers, which is a pretty alarming statistic. Therefore, that depression, use of illicit drugs and taking sexual risks are all somewhere between 6 and 3 times more likely for this group of young people. So this resource, environment for families to share their thoughts is an attempt to create an online community where people can tell their own story. So the idea is that the resource is available for anonymous access to families seeking advice directly from other families had been through similar experiences.
And if any of our listeners are feeling like they're not coping with their life, there's a please call Lifeline on 13 11 14. There's dedicated people there to help you in those situations.
That statistic is just really appalling.
I know, it's really scary, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's really great that an initiative like this has been set up, I think.
Yeah, I think it's really important.
Yeah, well, the Foundation of Young Australians, for Young Australians and Safe Schools Coalition Victoria will host the one-day National Safe Schools Symposium in Melbourne in October. How cool is that? Organisers of Australia's first national conference on homophobia in schools hope to put the controversial issue on the national agenda, which it's like the elephant in the room, I swear. This whole topic. Experts from around the country will collaborate and they're going to share some of the best practices in tackling homophobia and transphobia in schools, which is amazing because everyone always goes for the just the homophobia, but there's also transphobia, which is such... I guess a lot of people are ignorant on the plight of trans people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. There was a really crazy statistic, which is...
kind of backing up the decision to have a safe school symposium. In 2010, the Writing Themselves in Three report found that 75% of LGBTI young people had reported experiencing some form of homophobic abuse, and 80% of that abuse occurred at school.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, but going back to high school, people were cruel. People were evil.
Yeah. Mm.
And people are still in high school. This is something that just keeps going on.
Definitely. Along with following on from our continuous coverage of Queensland, staff from the office of Campbell Newman have been forced to edit a post made on Campbell Newman's official Facebook page regarding the state's gay panic defence. Comments which appeared to link paedophilia and the gay community were made to justify the state's provocation laws in reply to a critical Facebook comment questioning Newman's support for the defence. Newman staff originally posted, "We're not saying it's okay to kill someone, but the court will take in consideration that someone may have been attacked by another person because they were provoked by something like finding a pedophile sexually assaulting their child." The reply was...
Whoa!
Yeah. What? The reply was later edited, omitting the comments made about pedophilia. I actually saw this on Facebook myself, and I was shocked when I read it. And I think it's even more telling that his staff actually edited the reply later and then took it out.
Yeah. As in realizing that
they've done something seriously wrong.
Oh, my God. Well, this is non-LGBTI related, but I was reading that Campbell Newman's gutted, I think, 2,700 jobs from the Queensland Health Department.
Yeah, it's not, yeah, it's really bad things for health as well. Same with the arts community is also suffering at the hands of Campbell Newman.
It really irritates me because I'm such a proud Queenslander. And when I hear about these things, it makes me nauseous.
Mm.
Really, really nauseous. I'm sorry. I've just got this rage moment right now. You're listening to Generation Next.
Joy 94.9.
So you're listening to Generation Next with Dill, Tim and Em.
Hi.
Yeah. On Joy 94.9. It's getting towards... It's at the end of the show.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sadly.
Yeah,
it's time to go.
Time
for
to
another
go.
Monday. Crazy Mondays.
And guys, if you see yourself an article that you think, hey, that is really cool and I'd love to hear those guys talk about it on radio, then hit us up. You can, you can email us on generationnext@joy.org.au, or you can head to the Joy website, find our social medias through there and, you know, hit us up because we love talking your talk.
Even just contact us and tell us how great you think we are.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wait, did that make sense?
Yes, Tim conceded, sorry, as always.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, and don't forget as well, guys, to go and buy yourself a ticket to the Proud Prom from Deakin Uni.
Yeah, you can see us when we're there.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the link so I can read it out to you online. However, it appears to have disappeared from my sheets.
Don't worry, it is on our social medias.
That is very easy. You should just go there and find it. And
you know what? While you're doing that, you may as well become a Joy member as well. Give us a call on 1-300-JOY-949 because becoming a member is awesome.
Hey, I've just found it.
Oh, you just found it. Okay, cool.
Okay, so this is for the the prom. Well, you know, I think it's a really cool idea. You get like $15 tickets, which is really cheap. So you can book at www.trybooking.com/B for Bob UAK.
Yeah.
Walk.
But make sure you put in Generation Next to get a $5 discount.
That's the discount
applies that way. But however, we have got to get out of here. Those crazy guys from Worldwide Wave are coming in and
we love them.
We love them. Here's Labyrinth. I love Labyrinth.
We love them too. Yeah. We love you.
See you guys.
Generation Next.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with Joy.